what we say to America is be true to what you said on paper.
I'm not gonna spend my life being a color.
Do you agree with me when I saw you kicking dirt in my eye?
It's Race Across America, 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
And good afternoon and welcome. I'm Paul White and welcome to Race Across America. We're glad you're joining us. If you're concerned about the race situation in the United States, and if you're not, you should be. If you'd like to hear nonpartisan, honest, open discussion about both sides of all the race issues, present and past, then this is your show. We give a free pass to no issue, no individual, and no race. Everyone's held accountable for what they say and do. We believe people want to hear the straight truth, the facts about America's many racial issues, and once they do, we think that good people of all races will start finding ways to work together for the benefit of everyone. Race Across America is back from a several-week hiatus. We've been reconfiguring our show. My friend and previous co-host, LaMarcus Tinker, had some wonderful opportunities unfold in his primary career, and he felt called to leave our live broadcasting and pursue God's blessings. But LaMarcus remains vitally interested in resolving America's race issues and is still with our show as an executive producer. We welcome call-ins anytime during the hour regarding your opinions or questions about the topics under discussion. Our call-in number, 775-884-9910, 775-884-9910. Additionally, we look forward to having weekly interviews with a variety of interesting guests. Today, with all the discussion, argument about the need our prisons aren't working, the need to close them down, we've got a man who just recently finished 22 years in prison who's going to give us his opinion. More than any other topic, how America deals with the current racial animosity and limitless race-related incidents will determine our nation's future. With each race issue and incident we discuss, we'll be asking our guests and listeners, are the disagreements and achievement gaps between the races the result of historical systemic racism? Or are they the result of individuals who choose poor cultural values, unlawful behavior, bad choices, and no personal accountability, and therefore choose to be victims rather than victors? We want you to listen in each week and you decide which it is. Any discussion of race that hopes to get results has to start with facts. From our former president of the United States, John Adams, he said, facts are stubborn things, and whatever may be our wishes, our inclinations, or the dictates of our passions, they cannot alter the state of facts and evidence. Well, facts are hugely missing in most of our current discussions about race. So today we're going to start with some historical facts that are not well known, and then we'll move on to some current facts pretty much equally not well known. The lack of facts about racial issues is worsening this race situation in our nation. When facts are ignored or misstated, ignorance increases and opportunists move in to try and exploit people of all races who are made fearful and angry by what they're hearing. And that's exactly what's driving all the rioting, looting, anger, and violence right now in our country. We're going to start with some little-known facts about slavery. And you have to start with slavery in any talk about race in the United States because anything, any discussion ultimately goes back to that point. And what do we hear and how do we educate our kids? Typically with distortion on both sides and half-truths on both sides. It was unarguably the darkest moment in our nation's history, the slave period. But nothing is benefited by not getting the facts right. So first of all, it's usually presented as something that was uniquely white and uniquely American and uniquely horrible. Well, let's take a look. In Asia, was there slavery? Every single Asian country practiced it, going back as far as 4,000 years, and many Asian countries still practice it today. And before I go any further, we like to go with facts. It's the only way. But we want to say that we'll cite our sources most of the time, but we do a ton of research on this, and the information is out there. These are not pull-out-of-a-hat statistics. So anytime you have a question, feel free to call, contact us, ask us, well, where'd you get this? So there's Asia. How about Latin America? Well, the Mayas practiced slavery going back 4,000 years, the Aztecs going back 700, and after them, the Spanish and Portuguese colonizers took 90% of the slaves sent from Africa. The United States took less than 4%. We'll mention that in a minute. How about slavery in Africa itself? Not just slaves, not people taken from there to be slaves in America, but slave nation, African nations practicing it themselves. Well, it goes back to before the 6th century, and it continues today. Africa has the highest proportion of slavery still of any continent. Every black African sold to the United States as a slave first went through black hands and captors, every single one. And this fact particularly comes from one of the leading historians in the town of Accra, Ghana. Ghana, of course, being the country that was like the gateway where slaves left to come to North America. Europeans brought a total of less than 400,000 black slaves to the United States. 12 million shipped out of Africa. Less than 400,000 actually came to the United States. South and Latin America and the Caribbean took approximately 90%. Now, this is one you haven't heard. North Africa, so the United States bought a little less than 400,000 slaves from Africa. Northern Africa bought and captured 1.2 million white slaves from Europe and brought them to Africa as slaves. And it was a period over about 200 years. So it wasn't like it happened for a couple of weeks. Again, total number of slaves America bought from Africa, 400,000. Total number of whites captured and brought to Africa to serve as slaves, 1.2 million. When you listen to real Africans talk about America's arguing about racism and historical slavery, they think Americans are nuts to be sacrificing the greatest country the world's ever known over a totally pointless argument about, quote, systemic racism that no one can give one example of existing today. Africans I've personally known and been friends with over the years can't believe that blacks, that liberal, Democrat, blacks and whites in America can't or won't move past these ridiculous arguments. Now, some more seldom mentioned facts about America's slave past. For example, there are 40 million slaves worldwide today. There are more slaves in the world today than there ever were at any other time in history. Now, a common belief, all blacks in America were enslaved. What's the fact? In the 1860 census, there were 260,000 blacks living just in the South alone, 6%, who were free. 260,000, that was 5 years before the Emancipation Proclamation. Another belief, this one comes straight from Henry Louis Gates Jr., who is probably considered the world's number one authority from Harvard, number one authority on the whole slave issue. That all slaves were owned by whites is a common belief. The fact, who owned slaves? Starting from 1654 until the end of the Civil War, there were free blacks in the North and South who owned black slaves and lots of them, including some white slaves. They owned anywhere from a few to hundreds, and some owned several plantations. Again, this information comes from Henry Louis Gates Jr. from Harvard and from a man who passed on a while back, a Duke history professor named John Hope Franklin, who was considered, again, one of the leading authorities in the world on the slave issue. Dr. Franklin wrote that in 1860, again in the census, there were over 10,000 free blacks living just in the city of New Orleans. Over 28% of them owned slaves. 28% of the free blacks in New Orleans. A much higher percentage, actually, than the white owners. Now, Dr. Gates had a great quote in this article, an issue he calls Roots, he puts out. And he said, as I was doing this research, being a black man, he said, it really troubled me to ask myself, why would blacks who had typically been slaves themselves and been freed, why would they want to have owned black slaves and become slave owners themselves? And I quote Dr. Gates's response. He said, because just like white slave owners, the same reason, they were greedy, they wanted to make money, and they were predators. In other words, it was not the white people who were more evil than the black slave owners, then or now. What was evil was the institution of slavery. Everywhere in the world, practiced by people of all races as long as man has existed. The very fact that we've got still 40 million slaves in the world today, if we really care about this topic, would we argue about the details of 150 years ago, 200 years ago in the United States? Or would we get involved in trying to get at the root of, again, greed, being a predator toward other humans, not caring? Like Dr. Gates said, wouldn't we work to try to get rid of slavery rather than fighting about who was worse? But we have this racial dissension today because the media only selectively reports on race issues. And being a career educator, I know firsthand how horribly we miseducate our children about the facts. For example, you've probably definitely heard that white Senator Mitch McConnell's family owned slaves. Indeed, they did. He regrets it greatly and has apologized for it many times. You probably also heard that deceased Senator Robert Byrd was a Ku Klux Klan member, and he was. And before his death, he recanted and regretted that choice. But you don't hear near as much that President Barack Obama's family on his mother's side were also slave owners. Nor do we hear, hardly at all, on the media, that our current vice president nominee on the Democrat side, Kamala Harris, that her family owned 200 slaves in the Caribbean. George Washington's family only owned 123, and they want to remove George Washington from the history books. Harris's information comes from her dad, a black Jamaican and Stanford professor who wrote a genealogical paper detailing this fact. St. Paul kind of said it best. He didn't say, all white people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all black people. Paul wrote, we all have sinned and fallen short. And a man named James Adams had a quote. He said, there's so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it doesn't behoove any of us to find fault with the rest of us. And now, a few current false statements that need clearing up, and we can't really solve them without the truth. Black Lives Matter has become the leading voice in the nation for creating rage, guilt, and fear about alleged systemic racism and specific targeting of black people by the police. BLM says that the unjust Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown killings were what motivated them to organize their group and to start destroying our nation. That these two killings, and there are the names should be well, you should be familiar with them. Well, let's take a look at what the facts are. Trayvon Martin was killed in 2012. He was walking around in a neighborhood that where he did not live. He was visiting. And he was observed by a Neighborhood Watch resident named George Zimmerman, who Trayvon looked very similar to a couple of young black men his age who had recently robbed a couple of residents there in the community. So Zimmerman followed him a little bit. And not close, not harassing him, didn't say anything, just following him. Trayvon Martin went over to him, got agitated, followed him, assaulted him, was banging his head on the concrete in a way in which Zimmerman was quite seriously injured. He felt his life was threatened. He killed Martin. He shot and killed him. He had a legal gun on him. Now, what went on around this time was all this calling out by the Black Lives Matter side of things that doesn't worry about facts, that said, oh my gosh, this was a white guy, who Zimmerman is not, killing a young, harmless, doing innocent young black man. Well, the president, the FBI, the Department of Justice, the Civil Rights Commission, and a trial looked at every possible bit of evidence for months and months. And they completely and 100% found Zimmerman not guilty. Martin was not killed because of the color of his skin. He was killed because he was committing a serious crime. Take the other one that BLM uses and as an excuse for basically trying to tear the country apart. Michael Brown was killed, shot and killed by a police officer in 2014. Ferguson, Missouri. He and a friend had just committed theft and assault on a store owner, and they were walking in the middle of the road. Well, a cop went by, and he told the young men, get out of the road. And they refused. Police officer pulled over, at which point Michael Brown goes up, reaches in the police car, grabs the cop's gun, pulls the trigger. Gun didn't fire. Then Brown turned, ran around, ran away a little bit. Cop yelled at him to stop. Michael Brown stopped, turned around, ran back at the police officer, got to very close range, and the police officer shot and killed him. Again, Department of Justice, FBI, Civil Rights, Attorney General Eric Holder, who was also black, and President Obama all investigated, in addition to local law enforcement, and they found the police officer guilty of zero wrongdoing. Now, Michael Brown is connected with the saying, of course, hands up, don't shoot. Well, the man who was with Michael Brown first said that Michael Brown, when the cop called him, was just walking away with his hands up saying, oh, don't shoot me, you know, it was just a little traffic violation. Well, the only problem is that was never, ever said or happened, and the witness himself and others there totally recanted that Michael Brown had turned around, charged the cop, and contrary to the fact that he was shot six times in the back, the autopsy showed clearly he was shot at close range, six bullets, all in the front. But this didn't stop the fact that there was zero wrongdoing in either Trayvon Martin or Michael Brown's crimes. It's always a tragedy when anyone is killed, but they were committing serious crimes and justice was done. And the fact that this continues to go on, that Black Lives Matter would ignore this and continue to harangue the public with the idea of the cops were just hunting two young innocent black men. It's not the truth. It doesn't do anything to lead our country toward getting along. And of course, what also doesn't help is just in the last week, our Democrat nominee for president, Joe Biden, and for vice president, Kamala Harris, were both speaking about Brown's death as a terrible injustice, and there's a need, and they're going to focus on stopping police brutality. In other words, the person who wants to be president, the people who want to be president and vice president, are still furthering this lie that BLM is building itself on. Now, BLM's claim of police brutality, again, BLM says they exist for two reasons. Because they were set off by the injustice of Martin and Brown's killings, and also by the police brutality and their targeting blacks. Well, the most legitimate info source there could possibly be on this are the statistics released annually by the Department of Justice and the National Academy of Science. They have access to the 375 million annual contacts that police officers have with civilians. They have access to this paperwork. And in analyzing this, the most recent report, what did they say? Quote, there was no structural bias, this is nationwide, in the criminal justice system with regard to arrests, prosecution, or sentencing. Crime and suspect behavior, not race, determine most police actions. This is a quote from these findings. Now, people will say, oh, they're lying. There's no. If you're not going to believe legitimate statistics, there is no rational way to have any discussion or find any kind or make any kind of progress in all these situations. So, what other statistics did the DOJ find? Well, again, these are related to the BLM claims that the police are unfairly targeting blacks. You hear this all the time, the 70% of America that supports Black Lives Matter. Here's what they're supporting. How targeting are the police unfairly going after blacks? Blacks commit over 50% of all violent crime, even though they're only 13% of the population. Basically four times disproportionate to their numbers. Black men of all ages commit homicides at 10 times the rate of whites and Latinos. Is that racism or is that behavior? Now, you hear this number and it's correct. Blacks are shot 2.5 times more by cops, but based on their murder rate, it's 1/4 of what it should be. In other words, they're committing murders 10 times the rate of others, but they're only shot by cops 2.5 times. Basically, they're underrepresented 75% based on the statistics. Of all the blacks that are killed in a year, 2% are killed by cops. Of all the whites that are killed in a year, 4% are killed by police. In other words, cops are killing whites at twice the rate that they kill blacks. But BLM continues to lie about this, and its supporters continue to believe it. A policeman's chance of getting killed by a black man is 18.5 times greater than an unarmed black man being shot by a cop. Finally, about 6,000 blacks are murdered in 1 year. As Colonel Alan West, a black Republican from Florida, said, blacks kill almost more blacks in 6 months than the Ku Klux Klan killed in total in 86 years. A lot to think about. We'll be back after break with our interview.
It's Race Across America, 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
And welcome back to Race Across America. I'm Paul White, your host. We're glad you're here with us. We welcome your calls at 775-884-9910. And speaking of calls, Jess, you've been really patient. I apologize for not being able to see it. I'm kind of new on the board by myself, but we'd love to hear what you got to say.
Oh, right on. Yeah, no worries. I thought all that you were saying was really interesting. I think, so first of all, I grew up in rural Nevada, and so I wasn't exposed to much race outside of Mexicans and Latinos and white people. And then we had diversity of states. And then I've spent the last 10 years living in Chicago, which I think provides me a unique perspective of both sides.
You bet.
And I actually think that everyone's getting it wrong. I think that there are no black lives, there are no blue lives. There are individuals that are fully complex and just widely dimensional, but we limit it to these weird micro categories of like blue lives and black lives. It's like, I'm a bartender. Am I a bartender life? It's like, no, I'm Jess. That's who I am.
Right on,
and,
Jess.
And I think that we're losing our humanity on every side. I think that we're just turned off from hearing each other by certain buzzwords that get said, and then we don't hear the rest of the sentence, no matter how logical it is or illogical it may be.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, right. And we're just so divided that we're almost united because right. Nobody sits in their micro category. I know I certainly don't. I'm predominantly liberal, but I don't identify as a Democrat. I identify as an independent, but I align mainly with the Democratic side, which is to say nothing, because I think it's, you might as well be saying I'm with the Redskins or I'm with the 49ers. You know,
right.
it's as much relevant. But I do know as firsthand that I've been at Black Lives Matter protests because it's been my friends who are just debilitated seeing the people who look like themselves killed and then a world trying to justify why it's okay they were murdered. And Kamala Harris said on Stephen Colbert last night, she said, you know, we want to change the question from was it reasonable that they were killed to was it necessary that they were killed? And I think that's an important distinction. I think there are a lot of cops who are not qualified to do the job hiding behind the bodies of cops who literally the reason they became officers is because they wanted to protect and serve. And they're the ones who I want to protect. So personally, I'm not fighting for black lives or all lives. I'm just fighting for people, as flawed humans as they are.
Well, right, right on, Jess. Listen, we appreciate you calling. I hope people are listening to what you say. That again,
yeah.
as we just get to where we're judging people, to where we're judging people by what they do individually, regardless of what their color may be. Thank you so much. Please call again. Now we have a treat. We have our first interview under our reconfigured plan. We've got Greg with us. And Greg, as I mentioned, it fits on a race show because the topic of what to do with prisons has been huge and is a big issue in the discussion, especially with Black Lives Matter, the belief that they're all racist, that most of them need to be emptied out. Little fact, in the United States, we have 2.3 million, I believe, 2.3 million people locked up in our prisons, which is 20% of the world's total. And Greg here to be interviewed, and we're using a pseudonym because to protect his privacy. Just finished 21 and a half years in prison and has a lot of firsthand experience. So, Greg, welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm not here to be against Black Lives Matter or for Black Lives Matter.
Good.
Because me, myself, personally, I needed help, and I haven't received that yet. But I put the word yet because I don't know, because of the pandemic or the COVID-19.
Uh-huh.
I haven't been able to reach out.
Well, Greg, let me ask you, I got three basic questions for you. First one would be, are our prisons, the goal of prisons is still to be correctional, not punish, to try to help people turn their lives around. In your 21 and a half years of experience, are prisons doing that? And why not?
No, absolutely not. When you go to prison, if you say you're a thief, mm-hmm. We're going to use that one for example.
Okay.
You'd have been robbing houses and cars and people. Well, when you go to prison, the way the NBOC, I can't count for anything outside of the state of Nevada,
mm-hmm.
you become a better thief. They mm-hmm. took away programs. They took away, it's hard to get into the schooling. You know, if going in there for a trade, you ain't going to get that.
Right.
I just got out.
Yeah.
So I did 21 and a half years up in there. I'm not speaking what because it sounds so good to society. Mm-hmm. They just give all this money for all these programs, and we don't see them in there.
Well, Greg, let me ask you something. So if the programs are not going like they should be, are they not going like they should be for all the inmates, or just white or black ones? In other words, if you're white, would you get more programs? If you're black, would you get fewer, or Latino or Asian? Is the fact that they're not working, is there racism behind it, or is it just that the system's no good?
That's one good thing about the prison. You a number. You are not a color.
I like that.
You get in there, it don't matter what color you are, whether you black, white, Spanish, African, or China, wherever you come from, they don't see you are a number. You either going to be 1, 2, 8, 9, 5, 6, 7, 3, 4, 5, whatever number you are, that's who you are. Every now and then, your last name might slide in there, and that's because one of the prison officials is directing it to you personally.
Yeah. Well, now tell me, if you were in charge, if they'd put you in charge of prisons tomorrow and say, Greg, we want you to improve them, what would you do? What needs to be done differently?
Instantly. We had a director, Jackie Crawford. Her job was reform,
mm-hmm.
which means when you came to prison, you were, if you didn't have a high school diploma, you were going to get one.
Mm-hmm.
If you then, if you in there and you had a release date, or you had to do these certain programs to get these privileges. We used to have gardens in there where we grew our own veggies, but mm-hmm. to get that garden, you better not have had a write-up within the past 9 months. And you want to keep your garden because the food, the menu looks lovely. But it ain't. It looks lovely because society is looking at what they're feeding us. And then the portions are small. And so this is why you would have a good behavior to get the pluses. But now, ain't no pluses.
Well,
that's
good. What that lead me to my last question. So the Black Lives Matter, an agenda that they gave to the Democrat National Committee, one of the demands they said is we want, especially starting with federal prisons, we want them basically emptied, that they're not working. Now, would you say, is the answer to fixing things with the penal system, is the answer just letting everybody go, or is the answer in making the prisons function better for the ones that are there? Which should it be?
That's a weird way to basically say that question, because no offense, but some of them people need to be there.
Yeah.
And then you got a lot of people who don't want to get out because society is so hard to live. I had a roommate who they had to kick out because he didn't want to come out here and pay the light bill, the gas bill, the insurance, buy the car, pay the rent. He didn't want to do that where he got a beautiful PI job in there. And, he making his little $1.53 a day. And, so he's doing okay.
Wow.
But then you have that bunch that who has been in and out because of the society and robbing and stealing. And so they come back and they go back out. And they come back
again.
And they ain't trying to teach them anything. Like when they come back, say, hey, check this out. You're back in here. You're going to go to this class. Either you go to this class or you're going to be over here in this disciplinary unit. You're going to take this program. If you don't take this program, you're going to this disciplinary unit.
Right.
But they ain't doing that.
Right.
They just saying, oh, well, and they like they told me when I left there, you'll be back. We gonna leave the light on for you.
Well, and we'll close it at that point, Greg, and I'll share with the audience. I'd pretty much bet everything I got that Greg is not going to be one going back after being a few months. He's held a steady job, has developed a bank account, has saved his money, bought himself a car, is getting ready to move into a nice little apartment, is a pillar in his church and beloved by everybody, and is just living the kind of life that everybody would want him in our community. So, Greg, we thank you for being on today, and we especially congratulate you on how well you're doing, and we really appreciate your ideas. All right, going into our final segment here. Oh boy, there's just kind of no way around some of this stuff, you know. And the issue of violence and solving it, it's just almost like things have reversed, you know. In the old day, it's like a reverse racism. In the old days, the bad old days, there was segregation in the schools, and everybody was saying, no, that's no good. The whites were segregating schools, keeping the blacks out. At a growing number of colleges right now, the blacks are wanting more segregated living areas, eating areas, athletic areas, etc. It's like reversed. In the old days, it was whites going to the blacks' homes and threatening them to burn the house down and kill them. I'm going to share with you in a few minutes what was being said this week, just the reverse. With groups of blacks going to white neighborhoods saying they want to burn the homes and kill the people there. In the old days, the bad old days, it was rogue police attacking innocent people. Well, today it's reversed. You've got innocent cops standing there, not allowed at these riots to do anything. And you've got people just absolutely attacking them and injuring them left and right. Let's give you an example. We got four quick cities before we finish off. Chicago this week, a BLM supporter named Taylor Norwood held a press conference, said, quote, "This is our city. We're taking that SHIT back," speaking to white people. "We're not asking you anything. We're telling you what's about to happen, your permission or not. You can listen to us or get run over." Well, while that's happening in Chicago, and they're not letting the police defend themselves, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot had her house and street blocked off and secured by city police. She said, "I have a right to a safe, secure home," she said. Well, so far, the looting and riots in the last week or two have cost Chicago over $20 billion. Now you've got Minneapolis. Black Lives Matter supporter John Thompson, who won the Democratic primary for state representative just recently. This is a politician who's going to be making laws. Led a protest in a white neighborhood this week. Here's a quote. "Don't run now, racist white people. Don't come over here with your Blue Lives Matter. Blue lives ain't S-H-I-T. Come out here and face us, you racist MFers. We're coming to take everything you MFers took from us. You owe us. F your mother effing peace." This is John Thompson, a man just won the primary for the Democrats for the state representative. Cost so far to Minneapolis, they say, is $500 million. In Seattle, this all this week, BLM protesting in a white neighborhood, quote, "It's all over the media, the videos, etc. Get the F out of our neighborhoods. You're living in our houses. This is our reparations. Give us our effing SHIT back." Seattle protests have cost the city thus far over $20 million. On top of this, Black Lives Matter is suing the city of Seattle for making them buy expensive protective gear during their free speech protests. And finally, in Portland, early last week, BLM and Antifa supporters assaulted a man. You probably saw it on the news. He just helped a woman who BLM had robbed. He goes up, he's walking away. He got dragged out of his car, was laying there in a daze. A guy came up behind him that the police are looking for, kicked him in the head, knocked him out unconscious almost immediately, almost killed him. The next day, hundreds of BLM and Antifa protesters were in their white neighborhood in Portland, carrying shields, some with the sickle and hammer symbol, communism. They were shining bright lights into the houses and shouting, quotes on video, "Get out of your houses and into the streets. You stole this land." Cops are arresting no one, meanwhile, while getting assaulted with that night lasers, large rocks, ball bearings, glass bottles, railroad spikes, and balloons filled with feces. Now, Portland just decided to drop charges against over 350 arrested protesters because the protesters, they said, quote, are just frustrated with what's going on in society. The 70-plus days of protest in Portland have cost the city well over $23 million and brought it to its knees, the city says. Now, I tell you, if there's anything that anyone, good people of every color and kind in the United States, who don't want to see this happen, who don't agree with this, we need to speak up. Brings to mind some lyrics to a song. There was an old black folk singer named Lead Belly years ago. And the song said, "Oh, the Lord looked down from his holy place and said, Lordy me, what a sea of space. What a spot to launch the human race. So he built him a boat with a mixed-up crew, with eyes of black and brown and blue. So that's how come that you and I have just one world and just one sky. We're in the same boat, brother. We're in the same boat, brother. And if you shake one end, it's going to rock the other. It's the same boat, brother." A man who advertises himself as Joel Patrick, the legendary black redneck, says, "I stand with black people, but not Black Lives Matter. I stand with white people, not with the Ku Klux Klan. God only made one race, the human race, and I'll never be so ignorant as to judge someone by the color of skin that God gave them." We really appreciate you tuning in with us this week. We've got a lot to look forward to next week. Some incredible things going on with education. This was back to school week, and several interesting things were going on. Right now, I'm fighting through a bunch of pages trying to find it. Let's see. At the college level. Yale just finished a Department of Justice two-year study, found that Yale racist entrance acceptance, in other words, blacks were 10 times accepted more into Yale than whites or Asian applicants with the same exact record. Department of Justice told Yale, "Stop it immediately. It's illegal." Yale responded, "The DOJ's wrong. We're not doing anything outside the law." DOJ said, "Unlawfully dividing Americans into racial and ethnic blocks, it fosters stereotypes, bitterness, and division. This is likely headed for the Supreme Court to see if affirmative action is determined to be constitutional." We'll finish with BLM claimed two bullying victims this week. The first was Rutgers University. And a number of papers, including the Washington Examiner, reported that because of the university's desire to stand with and support BLM, they're going to lower their grammar standards for black students. Rutgers argued back that they just want to offer students from minority backgrounds alternative ways to express themselves. But there's been no mention of any Asian or Latino students requesting such a waiver. Victim number two for BLM was the California law schools and the state Supreme Court. The California Supreme Court, under pressure from BLM, they agreed to lower the score needed to pass the California bar exam. Now, right now, when they take the test, 52% of whites fail pass the bar exam. It's a very difficult test. 42% of Asians pass it. 32% of Latinos pass it. 5% of black law students pass the bar. Now, we'd really love to hear from you. If you've been a law student, if you took the bar, if whatever you thought, if this is something of yours. Anyhow, thank you. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back.
for gangs, clubs, and nations, causing grief in human relations. It's a turf war on a global scale. I'd rather hear both sides of the tale. See, it's not about races, just places, faces. Where your blood comes from is where your space is. I've seen the bright get dull. I'm not gonna spend my life being a color.
Do you agree with me when I saw you kicking dirt in my eye? Don't matter if you're black or white.